hello there, listeners. This is Yadette. I hope you're well. We are on the the Circled A. I nearly forgot the title of the show there. Don't blame me, it's because I'm holding a newborn baby and I'm a bit frantic right now. I'm not sure if she's going to start crying any minute. Unfortunately, I'm alone and without Che this evening, but that's okay because the show is titled All Things About Babies. And since I've got one, I guess I can talk about that. So how does society view the labour process? Do women have ultimate say of what happens to their bodies? Do we really need all those relatively new drugs like epidurals when they're relatively new? How does Annika's philosophy fit in the way we raise our babies? What does the law say about this? I'll just first of all talk about my experiences. I have a month-year-old baby, and basically I could talk about my pregnancy and the labor, and she's in the studio right now, and she's you might hear random grunts and moans, and I assure you it's not me, and the remainder of gas still waiting to come out from the last night's meal. I had a midwife, basically a community midwife, throughout the whole process, and that was quite that was an accident, because I came across a midwife in the hospital while it was my whole time for me to be checked over and everything like that, and by accident she was there, and because they had no midwives there that day, really, because it was the snowfall, and so she turned up, and she was able to tell me about the opportunity of having a home birth and or a pool birth, which I didn't really know much about, and I wouldn't have had access to that information if it wasn't for the community midwife. She also told me about the pregnancy entitlement fund that I could have got, which is a universal grant for mothers that have kids that were pregnant over 25 weeks, but the grant has been scrapped now. In January of this year, it had been scrapped because of all the cuts and everything, which I will be missing. A few things that as an anarchist that I had to really think about when it comes to raising my child were basically about how much involvement I was willing for the state to have in my life, whether, for example, I should have my child registered. Me and my partner talked about this. There she goes. Okay. We talked about this for a while, and my partner was definitely adamant that we would. And in my kind of naive mind and hopeful, optimistic way, I thought perhaps I could carry on and live a reclusive life away from the state. But the reality is that that's not possible, because if you want your child to be to go to school, for example, or you want to get them on the housing register when it's time for them to go it alone, all these things become a problem if your child's not registered. I'm not against the administration process on a smaller local level. What I am against is a tiny group with authority over public spending, when the irony is that they won't even be affected by the cutbacks made. Osborne has a cushy bank balance, let's not forget, and was entitled to it even before the unholy conception that resulted in yet another Eton Sprog. Another issue I had to think about was the immunisation issue. Now, there are many different reasons why parents may not want to get their children immunised. These might be religious reasons or health reasons, for example. But my reason was because I heard all the epidemic scare stories, and what your children might get, the after effects, the side effects of after you get the injection, but I'm allergic to one of the most used antibiotics, penicillin, but the fact is that research has shown that it saves children and it does not harm in the way that scaremongering rumours would have you think. And the doctor that was the author of a book misleading parents into thinking the jury was still out on that, he got struck off. So that says it all, really. We have a phone call coming up, but first of all, we're going to play the same song, which was by Chester P, called Woman. I love this song, so I want to hear it again. Okay, stay tuned.
I was raised by a woman, yeah, raised by a woman, loved by a woman, played by a woman, got hurt by a woman, betrayed by a woman, lied to a woman, cried for my woman, lived for my woman, I die for my woman, I'm pissed at my woman, if your eyes are my woman. I was raised by a woman, yeah, raised by a woman, loved by a woman, played by a woman, got hurt by a woman, betrayed by a woman, I lied to a woman, cried for my woman, lived for my woman, I die for my woman, I'm pissed at my woman, if your eyes are my woman. And I try for my woman, not to fight for my woman, I fight though I shouldn't, for the pride of my woman. As a child who replied to my cries for the bosom, I'm proud of the woman, the strength of the woman. And I watch how the woman works hard as a woman, in the eyes of the woman, scars of a woman. And I pray for the woman, I say to a woman, play safe as a woman. Men will hate on your woman if you say what you shouldn't, they stray from their woman and play with their woman. Men will pay for a woman, make a slave of a woman, stay brave as a woman. I was raised by a woman, yeah, raised by a woman, and a place with a love from the right kind of woman, yeah, my kind of woman, my life with the woman. Some of them are bitches and they lie when they shouldn't, blood, never love a bitch, this applies to a woman. I was raised by a woman, yeah, raised by a woman, struggling with drugs, I was changed by a woman. Strange how a woman maintained when I couldn't, I praise any woman, ain't nothing like a woman. In the ways of a woman, touch of my woman, the scent of my woman, the strengths of my woman, the weaks in a woman, I speak when I shouldn't, the deep is my love that I keep for my woman. I was raised by a woman, yeah, raised by a woman, loved by a woman, played by a woman, got hurt by a woman, betrayed by a woman, I lied to a woman, cried for my woman, lived for my woman, I die for my woman, I'm pissed at my woman, if your eyes are my woman. And I rise for my woman, spend nights with my woman, love life with my woman, oh, life to a woman, strong woman, one love to your woman. I feel like I'll never do enough for a woman. I was raised by a woman, yeah, raised by a woman.
Hi, we're back, and in this, we don't have anybody in the studio, but we have somebody on the phone line. We have Una, a self-proclaimed anarchist and mother of two. Hello, Una.
Hi,
I'm on my own. So, okay, let me start off by asking you, what the labour process, what was that like for you? And are there any kind of, you did, it was a home birth, wasn't it?
Well, I've had a home birth and a hospital birth. My first child I had in hospital, and then my second daughter a couple of years later I had at home. And
was that more comfortable for you?
Totally different experience. I totally recommend it to any woman, really. Home birth, it's a whole different ball game, you know. You're in your own home, you can, you know, you've got your things around you, you've got the people you want around you, you're in control. It's not clinical, it's not crazy with people running up and down and loud noises and scary machines. It's it's a lot if you can, you know.
What about the risk factor? Did that not plague you?
Sorry?
What about the risk factor? Did that not concern you?
Well, because I'd already had a baby, you know, I'd been through it. I knew what the risks are. And actually, if you're, you know, if you're a healthy woman and you know your pregnancy is okay, and it's not, you know, you've had your scans and you know that everything should go okay, you know, it's exactly the same risk as giving birth in hospital. I'd probably say there's probably even it is even less of a risk at home, because you know you're more in control, you feel more relaxed, there aren't doctors around. Sometimes I think anyway in hospitals sometimes there's unnecessary medical interventions because you know doctors are in a rush, or you know there isn't time to allow the you know the woman to give birth you know the way that she wants, you know everything's on a deadline, so sometimes you know unnecessary medical intervention occurs, and at home that isn't. And also if you think about it, a hospital you know people go there who are ill, you know, who have viruses and you know illnesses and germs and whatever stuff like that, you know there's lots of people coming and going. At home, you know, it's your own germs around you. You know, you're not going to get MRSA or whatever else, you know. But it's an informed decision, right? You know, and because I'd had a baby before at home, in hospital, and it was okay, you know,
you
I trusted myself
to
do it at home. And I had, you know, I had my partner there. When you birth at home here in the NHS, you know, they send like an experienced, they send two midwives, one of whom is has to be an experienced midwife. So you actually get better care at home than you do in the hospital. They stay with you the whole time. You know, there's not like shift changes and stuff like that. They bring everything that, you know, you could possibly need. And if the worst came to the worst, you know, you could get to hospital anyway. So,
And also, you can be in any position that you like. This whole idea of you having to be lying in bed on your back while you push is not it. Actually, I've got a book that you lent me which is called In a Maid's Guide to Childbirth, and I might just quickly read like a very small extract from it about like where this idea came from, how it came about. The first recorded instance of a woman lying on her back during labour was Louise de la Villere, I think, a mistress of King Louis of France in 1663. The choice of position was probably not hers, but her lover's. He wanted to sit behind the curtain and witness the emergence of the baby.
Yeah.
As king, he had privilege that did not belong to other men. Previous to that time, it had been taboo for men, including babies' fathers, to be present in the birth room. Less than 150 years before de la Valliere gave birth, Dr. Wertz from Hamburg was burnt at the stake for daring to dress in women's clothes so that he could attend a birth. Apparently, his cross-dressing was unconvincing to the other attendants at that birth. There's a little bit more. The prohibition against man midwives in the birth room began to break down with the intervention of forceps, which were first used in England and in France. Forceps reinforced the fashion of the reclining position in labour, as this is the best position for their use. So basically, like, as a woman giving birth, being totally in control, that's more likely to happen if you're at home. But moving a little bit on, when it comes to midwives and community care, because I was quite lucky that I was exposed to that. The cuts, a little bit about that, and what will happen to women.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, anyone who's, you know, had a baby in this country in the past, you know, past decade or so will know that already maternity services are, you know, really, really stretched. You know, maternity wards are totally busy. Midwives are overworked, underpaid, totally undervalued. Maternity wards are getting busier and busier, you know, more and more birth rates are going up in places like London, like urban centres. You know, the maternity wards are really, really, really busy. I mean, a few years ago, they were trying to encourage women to become midwives. You know, there was a midwife shortage. And now, basically, we're in a situation because of the cuts. You know, maternity units are being shut down. And basically, what's happening already is that smaller maternity units and birthing centres are being shut down, and maternity services are all being centralised to sort of bigger hospitals, which means that, you know, women have to travel further, you know, and in these crazy busy wards. the midwives, the nurses, the people that work there, they're totally overstretched. I mean, the past few months, there's been a lot in the media about, you know, certain hospitals and, you know, women giving birth in waiting rooms, you know, midwives too busy to be able to help them, and basically women dying, you know. Romford Queen's Hospital has been in the news quite a few women and babies have died there because they just don't have enough staff to deal with the amount of women going there. In terms of community midwife practices, they're all being shut down, and when things like that get shut down, it's not just about the birth, but it's sort of like pre-birth, you know, antenatal classes, you know, stop smoking support, nutrition support, things like that get shut down, and also sort of postnatal, so
yeah,
you know, bringing a baby for checkups or breastfeeding support or, you know, things like this, basically they're getting totally cut, and it means that women have less choice, you know. It means less and less babies will be born at home, less and less women will have less and less choice about where they birth, you know. And that's something that we need to all be really, really worried about, you know. This isn't just a women's issue, you know, we're all born somewhere, and, you know, if you're happen to be born on a busy day on the ward, and there's not enough midwives around, you know, something could happen, you know, that could totally change it the rest of your life, you know. It's pretty shocking.
I myself, the day that I stayed in hospital just overnight, the second day that I was there, I felt like I was okay and I could just go home. And so when I told this to the midwife, she couldn't get me out quicker, really. So I tried to explain to her that I had to wait for someone to pick me up, my partner to pick me up. But as soon as they found out that, like, I felt healthy enough to go, although I'm not a doctor, I'm not qualified enough to actually know if I'm okay, I just felt okay. She immediately began to, like, give me my marching orders and tell me to wait in the waiting room. So I was there for like 3 hours with Rosabella,
the
little baby, and I couldn't really kick up a fuss because I didn't know that what procedure was.
And you feel a bit vulnerable as well, right? You know, these people, you feel like they're the experts. You've just had a baby, you're tired, you don't know what's going on. And you know, you just do what you're told, really, you know, because you think these people know.
You're at the Feminist Library right now?
Sure am, yeah.
Where is that, so everybody knows?
Sorry?
Where is that located? So
the Feminist Library is on Westminster Bridge Road, which is just sort of in between Southwark and Elephant and Castle tube station. And it's a totally amazing space. It's like...
Yeah, and I'm sure that's like a really great place to organise as a woman as well, as a man. Why is it important to, after you have a baby, to not become isolated and, you know, get out there?
Yeah, it's totally important. And actually, in terms of like my own feminism and, you know, my own activism, you know, having kids, like, it really focused my mind. And, you know, when you have children as a woman, you know, it's then that, you know, you really start to feel the patriarchy kick in, you know, the world just isn't set up for women with children and buggies and stuff like that. You know, you can't go certain places, you know, you can't feed your child in certain places, you know, your employers don't want to hire you because, you know, you're a parent and stuff like that. So I mean I'd always been a feminist and an anarchist, but having kids, really, it was like, you know, I need to do something about this. I need to get out there and start knocking this whole thing down, smashing it up, really, because I can't take this, you know. You'll find out yourself as well. It is difficult being a parent, not just a mum, you know. It's difficult having kids, especially in this sort of emotional nightmare that is, capitalism, Western capitalism. But having kids focuses your mind, you know, it makes you more determined to smash it down, you know, for them, for their sake, you know, for their future.
Yeah, definitely. We've only got 5 minutes left, but yeah. We also have Gail.
Let me just grab her for you. Just 1 second. Okay,
thank
hold
you.
On. No, just
for
in the
meantime.
Middle of a meeting. 1 sec.
Cool.
Gail.
So, Gail is also a feminist. She's at the Wright Library, really. She's a mother as well. And
okay, she's just coming there.
Okay. I'll just ask her.
Right. Hello, Yudette.
Hi, Gail. You all right?
Hello.
Right, let's get cracking because we don't have much time.
Right. Actually, I can hardly hear you.
Oh, can you hear me now? Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, is that better? Great. Okay. Well, we don't have much time, so I'll just, like, carry on.
Yeah.
So you're a mother.
Yes.
And an activist, an organiser.
I am. All of those things.
Could we talk about... the maternity services demo.
Right, the maternity services. What I should say is that my son is now nearly 20, I was talking to Una and some of my other friends about, you know, what the difference between now and even 20 years ago, which is that I think that choice has really gone down over that period because, you know, feminists fought very hard in the 70s and 80s to get provision within the health service for things like, you know, you even had kind of in some hospitals, you know, you had you could have water births and so on. And, you know, it just feels to me like a lot of those gains that the second wave feminists and activists made have really kind of been taken away slowly but surely by, you know, cuts, not even before the recent rounds of really savage cuts.
Mm. Yeah, and so the reduction of women's choice?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's like, you know, if you've got money, then, you know, you can still pay to get an independent midwife, but you know, I mean, most of the independent midwives who I know are, like, really heartbroken that they really, you know, it's a real struggle for them to provide services to women, you know, who don't have money to pay them privately.
Yeah.
And certainly, you know, at the time that I was having my son, you know, you could basically choose to have a community midwife. And I'm not saying it was all a bed of roses. It wasn't, but... at least, you know, it felt like that option was there and in certain parts of the country anyway, if not everywhere, because, you know, because groups of women and, you know, had fought for it.
Yeah. Yep. And lastly, quite a controversial subject, co-sleeping. What are your thoughts about... because that's an attitude that a lot of kind of... hippies or people that are quite a bit more relaxed in their upbringing of their children, and I myself use co-sleeping. I let Rosabella sleep in the bed with me. What are your opinions on that? Is it's a more like a Victorian attitude towards rearing a child?
It's a kind of, you know, I don't think it's a sort of hard and fast, you know, that if you're not in favour of co-sleeping, that you're sort of Victorian or something.
Oh, I just mean the attitude of it, really.
No, but I mean, okay, I think I personally would be rather nervous about co-sleeping because I think... I would actually be quite scared about rolling over onto the baby or something. Now, I'm not saying... I'm sure there's been plenty of research that's done into it, and, it's, you know, it's probably perfectly safe, you know. But that would be my fear.
Okay.
But I certainly think that, you know, for the first few months, at any rate, you should have your baby sleeping as close to you as you can. And, in fact... you know, we had my son. I mean, when Adam was born, we lived in a tiny flat, and I had my desk right next to the bed.
Oh, sorry, I have to cut you off there. Really sorry, it's just because I've got like 1 minute left.
Right.
But we can continue this next time.
Yes, good. Thank
you're not
you
Victorian,
very much.
Don't worry. It's just I just meant something else. I just came across wrong. But okay, take care though.
Thank
and
you.
Speak to you soon.
Thanks, bye.
Bye. Well, thank you very much for listening, everybody. I reckon it's all right to have your little baby sleeping with you. Just make sure you're not drunk or high, and you won't squash them over. Okay, thanks very much for listening. See you next week. Bye.